I wanted just, I'm not going to take a long time with it, but I feel like God gave me something that I want to share with you from Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and beginning at verse 32, we're going to read right on through to verse 39. And that is basics for victory in a ballistic world. Basics. Now, listen to Pastor Bob Nickel. Here's the thing that has concerned me a little bit over the last few months and years. There are people that come to church that don't have a clue how to live victoriously. I mean, you message after message, strength, how to gain in strength, how to grow, what to do, what not to do. I don't mean for brownie points. I don't mean we're saved. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. But here's the thing. You say, well, am I going to? I tell you what, you can create your own hell on this earth. You can go to heaven, but create a little bit or a lot of bit of hell on this earth by what you believe and what you, you know, when we flow with what God has taught us, life goes better. Your marriage goes better. Your business goes better. Everything in your life goes better. I'm not talking about heaven or hell now, but I'll tell you, I'd like to go to heaven in a little bit of heaven or a lot of heaven, wouldn't you? Amen. And God's bringing in, you know, we didn't bring up everyone this morning that's a part of these groups and that has been a vital part of it. But God is moving by His Spirit. And let's look at Hebrews, the 10th chapter. We're talking about basics. You know, God doesn't want you to come apart like a $3 suitcase every time something goes wrong in life. I mean, there's people that shout in the aisles and some little old speed bump comes up and you don't see them for a month. And they got hurt or they got hit or they hurt themselves. Folks, God wants you to take this book and be unstoppable. Unstoppable. It'll jolt you. My Lord, you think it's years I've been in the ministry, I've had some of the strongest jolts. I've been shot at stronger, longer, harder in these last few years than ever when we were younger and even beginning and beginning. But you know, I've made up my mind, I'm going to finish strong. Satan's not going to steal my reward. Satan's not going to steal my blessing. Satan's not going to steal the seed that I've planted, the seeds that Joy and I have planted. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 32. But call to remembrance. Remember the former days. Huh? Well, Paul's giving you permission to look back to the former days for a few moments here. Call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, in other words, after you heard about Jesus, you came to Jesus, you had accepted the Lord, that you endured a great fight of afflictions. I mean, you couldn't wait to get to church, tell them how you'd won your latest victory. I mean, you were just a Holy Ghost accident looking for a place to manifest on Satan. Call to remembrance when you first came to Jesus and you could put your head on the pillow at night and not say, please don't come tonight, Lord Jesus. But you could lay your head on your pillow and say, thank God I'm a new, if you had the right teaching, thank God I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Someone said, Do you believe in grace? My Lord, none of us are going to make it without grace. I haven't heard a grace teacher that believes in it any stronger than I do. Because I've seen the grace of God in my own life. I've seen the grace of God in this church. I've seen the grace of God in people's lives. Folks, none of us are going to make it without the grace of God. I don't mean you going out doing something stupid on purpose. That's how you create your hell on the way to heaven. I've never said it like that, but I believe I've stumbled on something here. You can create a bit of hell on your way to heaven. In your marriage, in your business, in your personal life. Thank God I'm born again, but I want all the heaven I can get my hands on this side of heaven, because I know heaven's going to be okay. Don't create hell for yourself on your way to heaven. I'm saying something stronger than you're hearing it right now. See, that's where so many people get messed up. It's not a matter of the grace of God. They don't understand that. But here's the thing. Don't create negativisms and hardships and mental traps and ways of thinking about things and talking about things that just keep putting you back in the pit. Some people, I mean, the word of God, the Spirit of God just jack you up sky high and you're not out of here a few hours. Some of you don't make it to the parking lot and you're tearing yourself down again. Stand on the word that you're hearing. Hold steady. This is the only way it's going to work. This is the believer's manual. Amen. Called to remembrance the former days. Well, now, what was it? Partly while you were made a gazing stock, there were people that made fun of you. Your family said you're crazy. You were a gazing stock. People made fun of you. They said tacky things about you. I mean, nothing hurt you. It just ping off you like little pebbles off a steel roof. Whatever they said on the job, whatever your relative said, whatever somebody else said, you were made a gazing stock. But that's no big deal. I'm born again. Don't make any difference what people say. I'm born again. Both by reproaches, and afflictions. You went through some stuff. It's what amazing grace is all about. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, thank God I have already come. But you didn't quit, and I didn't quit. Aren't you glad you didn't quit under pressure? Woo! Aren't you glad you didn't quit under pressure? Reproaches, afflictions, partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion or respect. See, now, Paul's talking to his converts there. For you had compassion of me and my bonds. Paul said, you remembered me. You loved me. You gave to me. There were those that visited him in prison. Of course, those that didn't, but there were those that did. And you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. You lost something or something went away, but you didn't stop following. What he's saying here, no matter what came your way, you just couldn't wait to get back to the house of God to praise God together with the company of believers. That was your new family. Just couldn't wait to get back. You took joyfully this. I mean, it didn't mean you threw money away or you destroyed your stuff, but when something hurt you or your stuff, you just kept the victory. Didn't let everything bum you out. Knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. I mean, folks, everything we have on earth is just stuff. We all enjoy stuff, but you can't build on stuff. But one day, thank God, we're going to a city that is built four square, whose pavement is gold. You say, how big's the mansion? If it's a one-room shack, you'll shout the victory up and down Glory Avenue. Well, what color's Jesus going to be? You won't give a rip. You'll be so glad you got to heaven. If he's red, green, yellow, purple, white, you'll say, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Thank you. Thank you. Some people get hung up over that. Well, what color was you? I don't know. But I'm going to find out. And I'm going to be the same color he is. Is that okay? I've never said that before. I think that's good. I want to hear my CD on that. Hallelujah. You have in heaven a better and an enduring. Whatever happens to us, listen to me, saints. Whatever happens to us on this earth, this is just the dressing room. You miss heaven, honey. You got eternity without God. But you might have it rough down here, but thank God when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. You know, I don't remember really spending any time on those two or three verses that precede the rest of the verses that we're going to read here. But what Paul was saying, I remember you. When you first came to Jesus in those early days of being born again, I mean, nothing could stop you. Nothing could slow you down. Nothing could discourage you. I mean, you were just full speed ahead for the Lord. Now, here's what God's saying to the entire church this morning. I don't care how old you are. I don't care. I don't like that statement. It matters not how old you are, how young you are. Here is what God is saying. And I'm going to tell you, because I'm preaching this today, some of you are going to need it before church tonight. By the way, be here at 6:30. We've been having revival in here in these night services. Brother David King's going to minister tonight, 6:30. And I'll tell you, he's had a tremendous anointing of God. I'm looking forward to that. Now, here's what God, in your Bible, chapter 10, verse 35, please, please, don't just look at your watch or your calendar. Track with me. Here is what God is saying. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God. Well, I did the will of God. Well, hold steady then. I did what was right. I gave what was right. Okay, just settle it. After you've done that which is right, the will of God, that you might receive the promise. That English expression is not exactly correct. You will receive the promise. Now, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just, that's my crowd, the just, shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no... Didn't say he wouldn't love you. He just said, I'm not going to be happy about your situation. God doesn't want you to be a drawbacker. Amen? But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them which believe to the saving of the soul. Let me read you, Pam is... And a lot of others have been so sweet to come and be with our precious daughter, as you know, who's been under nurse's care. And we're just believing God for a continued miracle. But she's been telling me about this book with Gordon Lindsay, The Charismatic Ministry. And there's not about a half page there. It's all outlined in pink. Isn't that something? All right. Oh, she's a lady. But listen, do you know that what we've been doing around here has got hell so upset? The devil is having board meetings on how to try to stop Calvary Cathedral. He's having board meetings. He's mad. He's upset. These people are grabbing them by the handfuls. And they're not all going to Calvary Cathedral. But those that truly trust Jesus are going to heaven. Now, here's what he was saying back a number of years ago. Joe and I were privileged to travel. Dr. Gordon Lindsay and Frieda Lindsay started the voice. It was the voice of healing, and it's Christ for the nations. And maybe there's an expanded name. But anyway, I mean, he was a tremendous writer. His books were so right on, they haven't had to rewrite any of them. And he went on to be with the Lord. We traveled with them some 6 months, and some of the leading healing and miracle evangelists of the nation. He was sort of the ringleader he had magazines and so on. Here's what this man says. Now, listen real carefully. In the midst of all other kind of things, I wish I had time to read. Churches that are small and have little equipment can take heart if they have the holy fire in their souls. They can build a strong congregation through personal work and house-to-house visitation. Effective visitation must be vigorously promoted. Now, you know, there's people that have served the Lord for years and they've never been a part of a church that's really been aggressive in going after souls. Now, honey, let me ask you, how much teaching do you have to have before you get excited about being on a soul-winning team? How fat do you have to get in the Word of God before you win one soul? So effective visitation must be vigorously promoted. That's what we're doing. So why do we have those people give our testimony? Because we're vigorously promoting winning souls. And I know that different people have different personalities, but you know what? Everyone in Calvary who is a giver, everyone who is a tither, a giver, a first fruits participant, you are part of this New Testament outreach to win souls. Everybody may do it a little differently, But thank God we've got those aggressive frontliners. And I tell you what, if you ever go out with some of these frontliners, you'll never be the same again. But you've got, it requires continuous effort. You can't just meet on Sunday and nobody ever say a word about people going. It's a big deal for over 20,000 people to have prayed the sinner's prayer. And it's a big deal. It's important to God. And it goes on to say, a plan that operates only for a few weeks will not accomplish much. Meeting or the morning worship, in just the meeting or the morning worship hour, it must be kept continually before the congregation. So what we're doing is something that has been proven from, I mean, there's all kind of books that we could bring of those who have reached out. Visitation to be effective must be systematic. In a well-organized program, in workers that meet weekly at the church where they receive their assignments and special instructions. So we're doing that. The workers return to the church for refreshments. I don't know if we do that or not, but I'll tell you, that can happen too. And a time of sharing experiences. While the enthusiasm of their new contacts is still fresh, they can share with one another what the Lord has accomplished through their efforts. While they're enthusiastic about it. The 70 returned again with joy to give their report. Well, what happened? Well, we came to church, sang two or three songs, and preacher preached. We all came home. You can go home and, you know, no one's staff job depends on how many people come forward for the altar call. We've had, as you know, Easter Sunday morning. It was right at 400, if I'm not mistaken. Whatever it was. But I'll tell you, you said 4 or 5. What? I don't know about that. Divide that in half. That's still a pretty big deal. You don't have to divide that in half. And I'll guarantee you, I would like to know. I think we had the largest response to altar call in the Metroplex on Easter Sunday morning. I don't care how big the mega churches were. I'll guarantee you, if you don't give altar calls, ain't nobody coming, honey. And if all you do is just blink at an usher if you need some help, that don't work either. You get in trouble with somebody winking at them. Okay. Folks, what I'm reaching out, this is a church that's doing something about what Jesus. Now, I'm not bragging on me. My God, have mercy. That's the least. But I'm just, let's all understand what's happening. That this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end's going to come. We're doing what God said to do to bring Jesus back. We're doing what God said to do. And I'm conservative in my politics, but I'm telling you, the total answer to what's wrong with our nation is not in the Democrats or the Republicans. We need revival. We need a national revival of people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. David Jeremiah, who's primarily a teacher of a great church out in California, I saw him on television the other day. He said, I believe with all my heart that God has one more great revival for this nation. God's not through with America. See, that's where we operate. If I thought God was through with America, I'd go up in the mountains, get me a ski chalet up there somewhere and just watch it snow. I mean, if it's all done, just pull the window shade down and, you know, just do something of leisure. No, we're out here swinging the bat from the left and swinging the bat from the right, encouraging our church to go forward. We're praying. Amen. And so if you're around here, let me tell you the things that have value. Prayer is of value. Outreach is of value. Reaching out to the neighborhoods, it's of value. And whether you are able to be a part of it or not, thank God you are a part of it because you're part of the team. You're part of a soul, a house of God soul winning team. Well, it said, while the enthusiasm of their new contacts is still fresh, they can share with one another what the Lord has accomplished. Praise God. I don't know. I think that's a bit. But it, in essence, what it said in these just little few excerpts, as Pam said, you know, Pastor, we're doing what one of the strongest men of God that ever lived and authors and you know, God used the Lindsays in such an awesome way. Now, but here's the thing. Here's what has to happen with you. And if you don't hear these verses, one day we'll look around and you've dropped out of the race. Here it is. All right, so let's hit it on the home stretch, and I don't have time to spend time on each verse. Don't cast away your confidence. Satan will do everything in his power to get you to doubt your salvation, your confidence in your salvation. To doubt your confidence in the Word of God. To doubt your confidence in your marriage. To doubt your confidence. Don't cast away your confidence. Hold on. People, by and large, people that take their lives, I think a high percentage of, really there are some tremendous mental problems or severe depression. But you know what's happened? They gave up. They gave up. Church, we can't give up. We can't quit. We can't give up. Are you listening to me? Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your grandchildren. Don't give up. Don't quit. Life is worth living. We'll be out of here one of these days. My, my. Don't let Satan steal your confidence. I mean, just a while back someone said someone left because they just couldn't stand all this witness. I said, nobody's trying to make you do it. We're just licking the ice cream cone around here. Dear God. Man, if you can't get excited about souls getting saved, you need to get saved yourself. Don't cast away your confidence. Your marriage is not going to make it unless you have confidence in your marriage. God in your... please, I don't have time to iron out all the wrinkles of what I'm saying. But if you're married, have confidence in God that is in your marriage. Amen. Have confidence in your husband. Have confidence in your wife. Have confidence that God is at work in your life. Don't cast away your confidence. Your faith confidence. Why? Because your faith confidence has a great reward now and later. Folks, we're not just going through the motions. Do you realize that what we're doing, even on a slow day, one day we're going to have a reward that's going to astound. Times that you gave, you sacrificed or you gave in faith or you helped somebody, all the ways that you can help people around here, oh, on a slow day, oh, thank God, you're compounding the interest of your reward on this earth as well as throughout eternity. Isn't that wonderful? Your continued faith confidence has a great reward now and later. And then it goes further to say, for you have need of patience. Patience. You know what patience is? It's what you do after you receive the word before the manifestation comes. Let me say that one more time. Patience is what you do after you hear and you receive the word of God before the manifestation comes. Your manifestation has not come yet. Hasn't come. I gave, but, you know, I'm waiting. I believed, I did what God said to do. You know, the desire of my heart from square one in 1964 when we started the church, I want to do the New Testament things that God calls us to do. I'm not into gimmickry. And the problem is today we're creating managers, not ministers. We need men of God full of the Holy Spirit to charge hell if needs be with a dry water pistol and beat him up with a plastic pistol. We don't need wimps in the pulpit. We don't need wimps in the pew. We need men of God to stand up, be the spiritual high priest of their home, and lead, lovingly lead. Not mean, beat your chest and on your... No, lovingly lead. Lovingly lead. But lead. Be a leader. Be a leader. You're preaching back to me so good. We're just almost through here. Your continued faith confidence has a great reward now and later. You know, I look at David and Janet. You know, you guys, how long did you serve your father? 30? This is so uncommon. Stand up, David and Janet Yeager, over our Bible. 34 years. Thank you. Since this couple, there's never been one awkward moment. Never been. I mean, everything I hear about them is good, straight ahead, ongoing. That's another deal. You know, when we needed somebody for the Bible study, I thought, Lord, what are we going to do? We've been here before, but Lord, there's not a soul in. There's certain ingredients you have to have. And I remembered that couple that just came out of nowhere, and they came on Wednesday night, and they came on Sunday morning, came on Sunday night. I thought, well, they're not on staff. What's going on here? And they weren't coming to be on staff. They were coming because they had found their home. Things had changed, and they were coming because they found their church home. See, you need to know where your church home is, and you need to bloom where you planted. Every sheep needs a shepherd, and every believer needs a pastor. Pastor's not someone that has coffee with you once a week or once a month, but you know, you can read a pastor. If you got any spiritual smarts at all, you can read a pastor from your pew out there. I mean, I have fellowship with you that you wouldn't have with me. If I may sit down with a cup of coffee and say, humma, humma, humma. You know, I may not be in a talkative mood that day. But you listen to me. You listen to me talk long enough, you'll know my pastor's heart. Some of you ought to know me. Dear God, you ought to know me by now. You've heard me. You've heard some of my stories a number of times, but they still work, and we still love you. Well, don't cast away your patience. Don't cast away your patience. Patience is what you do after you receive the word, you believe the word, before the manifestation comes. Would you believe that after the many years that Joe and I have served the Lord, many years we've passed, we're still having to have patience for the manifestation of some things we've sown for, believed for, prayed for, sought God for? But one thing I figured out a long time ago, quitters never win and winners never quit. I said quitters never win and winners never quit. Hallelujah. And you know, churches are like marriage. I mean, every night in marriage is not like a honeymoon. Excuse me for the rest of you. Yeah, for you young bucks, yeah. But, you know, every day is not. There's bill paying days. There's days when you don't get to do what you want to do. There's days when a marriage has times and seasons. Ooh, honey, I love you, and every day we're just going to be on cloud nine. There's some other clouds out there, honey. And there's an old, old story. I don't think I ever remember telling it, but I've heard it enough times, know it by heart. But, you know, back years ago, you'd marry, a minister would marry a woman who could play the piano or the organ, and she could sing. And there were other and so they got married. First night after the honeymoon, she took her hair off, took her eyelashes off. This thing just kept getting worse by the minute. Finally, he said, "Sing, honey, sing. Where's the piano?" Somebody play something. The scenery's getting worse. I've heard that a million. You've heard that, haven't you, John? Yeah, you. First time I've ever told it. You need to get married for other reasons. It's called love. The love of God, agape love. That's what really attracts you. I mean, it may be the physical that attracts you, but you better have more than that, or you're going to have a bitter disappointment. There'd better be heart love. Heart love. Heart love. Well, I'm not teaching on marriage. Brother Tony, you can pick that one up maybe for your first. You can elaborate on that. All right, got three more. All right, don't cast away your confidence. Your faith confidence has a great reward now and later. For yet a little while. Church, we're closer to breakthroughs than we've ever been before. You are closer to breakthroughs than you've ever. Listen to me. You're closer to breakthroughs. Say, I don't believe that. Well, everybody but you then. Because this stuff only works if you believe it. I've seen some of you drag yourself in when all hell was on your head. But you didn't stay home. You came to church. Sometimes you said something. Most of the time you didn't. Sometimes you'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm going through something. I'm going through. Just join your faith with me. And I've said to so many in this congregation, hold steady, hold steady, hold steady, hold steady. I can't explain every day. I can't explain every way. But I know the word works. I know God is true. I know God keeps his word. You can build your life, your marriage, your present, your future on the promises of God. For yet a little while. Can you say, just a little while? But then the next part of that verse says, but now. What now? I'll tell you what now. Four times in the Bible. What now? The just shall live by his or her faith. I don't know. I kind of had this millennium in my mind years ago when I was much younger. Boy, the day's going to come when I get to be like Kenneth Hagin or some of these other folks, and I won't have to use this faith stuff. I don't mean it wouldn't. Let me qualify that. You know that every move's not going to have to be faith. I know my mother, it wasn't that my parents were broke, but they were frugal in the way they spent money. And sometimes Mother would shop everything in Fort Worth. And then she'd wait for the next sale. I said, Mama, just buy it. Just pay a few extra. No, I'm going to get it on sale. I'm going to get it on sale. And she'd wait it out. And my daughter, she's coupon queen, I tell you. No, that's smart. That's smart. Get it for the best price you can get it. That's what I'm telling you. But you know what? You know what Mother was doing? She was exercising her faith. She had bargains all over that house. I mean good stuff, good furniture, good things, and she just wouldn't pay top price for nothing. And she had patience to wait it out. And believers have patience to wait it out. But now, for a little while, now the just shall live by faith. Woo! Please underline that. Four times it's said in the Word of God. And then one final thing I want to share with you. We are not of them that go back. We're not of them that go back. Church, get quit out of your spirit. Get quit out of your heart. Amen. You don't quit on your first day and you don't quit on your worst day. Now, there's things you'll have to qualify what I'm saying. But you understand, we're not quitters. Amen. Don't be a quitter. Don't be a go back. Don't be a go back. But we are not of those that go back. We're not of those. Say it with me. We're not of those that go back. We're going forward. My, we are not of them who draw back, but of them that believe, We're not of them that draw back, but of them that believe. Whew. And that's the way you stay strong in a world that's just ballistic. It doesn't always feel good, doesn't always look good, doesn't always sound good. I can't explain everything. Well, preacher, just explain. I can't explain everything. But I can tell you one thing. God is faithful. God is faithful. And God never has failed. And God cannot fail. Preachers fail. Churches fail. People fail. But Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Are you getting something in your spirit? Hebrews, the 10th chapter. My. This is so awesome. So awesome. How you don't have to be a quitter. You don't have to be a quitter. Hallelujah. I don't remember who it was out of Texas Motor Speedway. One of the winners, one of the champions a few years ago. But I remember he had not, if I'm not mistaken, he had never won the big one, or it had been a long time since he had won. And he said somehow in that race, there's so much can go wrong with your tires, your fuel, your mechanical, your motor, or someone can crash into it. You know, there's all kind of hazards on that freeway track. But he said about midway in that race, a little past midway, it came to me so forcefully, I can win this one. And the winner's spirit got inside of him. And he said it was like I became another man. I could see myself winning. I could see myself, no tires blowing out. I could see everything working like it's supposed. And he said, we got close. And he said, influences tried to say, no, you're not going to win again. You're not. No, he said, no, I can and I will win this one. I'm going to win this one. Church, that's what I'm trying to, by the grace of God, get in your spirit. I'm going to win. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to win. I'm a winner. I'm an overcomer. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Well, shout the victory. Hallelujah. 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 Stand to your feet if you will. Praise God. My, you've been a wonderful audience to preach to.